Is there a right way to pray? It's time for episode 12 of What We Believe and Why with pastor, author, and teacher, Dr. George Byron Koch. Last time we were together, you may recall we were talking about prayer and moving specifically towards the question of posture. Does our posture during prayer make any difference? Let's jump back into that discussion now. Here's George.
We've been talking about posture and how it relates to the way that we pray. And one of the last things that I mentioned is the difference in talking to someone, let's say Jane, and if I tell her that I love her, it means something. But if I only speak to her, it doesn't mean nearly as much as if I also hug her. So we need to be aware that the language of the body is as important, if not even more important, than the words that come out of our mouth. And the same is true with God. God doesn't require certain postures of us when we pray. But there are things about prayer and posture that are tied to the attitude of our heart and our approach to the throne of grace. Posture affects how I experience my relationship with Him, and that matters. Here's a quote from 1 Kings 8, verse 54. When Solomon finished making these prayers and requests to the Lord, he stood up in front of the altar of the Lord, where he had been kneeling with his hands raised toward heaven. This is probably the most common or most described image of a person in prayer in the Bible. When I fold my hands and bow my head, in that posture is a sense of humility and submission. When, like Solomon, I raise my hands, there is a sense of surrender or thanksgiving. When I kneel, there is submission and honor. When I lie prostrate, there is awe and utter surrender in His presence. The posture itself can signify and become integral to the experience of the attitude of the heart toward the Creator. In a sense, posture in prayer is heart talk, and it avoids the word generator of the brain that often interferes with or masks our deepest feelings. So posture communicates, and posture can be an integral part of how we pray. We should neither be afraid of it nor rob ourselves of the gift of any of its forms. And we surely should not be dismissive of others who pray differently than we do. Well, we've looked at a number of the ways in which we can go astray in prayer and a few of the ways to pray. But why do we pray? What's the purpose? If God already knows everything that's going to happen anyway, why bother to pray? I might want the future to happen my way, and I might pray to ask God to make it happen my way. But if I figure that God already knows what's going to happen, what's the purpose of prayer? By assuming that what will be, that the future is predetermined anyway, and that God knows it and wills it, and therefore I can't change it, well, that's both unscientific and it's unbiblical. There are several reasons we pray. The number one purpose of prayer is to deepen our relationship, our communion with God. It is both to know Him more fully and also to serve Him more willingly. Here's how Ronald Sider put it in Churches That Make a Difference. Prayer puts us on the potter's wheel, reshaping us to be God's vessels. As we beg that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we present ourselves to God to do it. That is, when we say, God, Your will be done on earth, we're not saying, I'll just sit here and wait until You're finished. No, it means, I'm a willing participant. Shape me as You need to. Use me as You need to, that Your will might be done on earth. We are also commanded to pray. Jesus says very clearly that we are to pray for our enemies. He didn't say, if you don't have anything better to do. He commanded us to pray for our enemies. And this kind of prayer is very hard. For one thing, enemies doesn't just refer to people with guns who might rob us on the street, or to enemy combatants, or to countries or organizations that aim to hurt or destroy us. It includes these, of course. But in some ways, they are a bit abstracted from us and thus easier to pray for at a distance. But enemies include those people who just get under your skin. Sisters and brothers and neighbors and, well, people in church. When I find myself irritated with somebody else, that person has become my enemy. My first human reaction is to say something sarcastic, belittling, or complaining. But that's just not what Jesus tells me to do. He says to pray for that person. We're commanded to do that. It's hard to do, but it is what he commanded. Another purpose of prayer is to express our needs, whether for guidance, healing, hope, comfort, counsel, courage, or even perseverance. And we should tell God plainly what we need. He will hear. So as to purpose, I've mentioned here only a very few. Scripture is replete with purposes for prayer. Prayer for enemies, prayer for non-believers, prayer for a favorable old age, prayer for children. It goes on and on and on and on. In the end, in each case, the purpose of prayer is conversation and communion with God. Talk and abide in Him, and He will live in and through us. Now I'd like to look at content in prayer. And I want to start with a remarkable quote from Phillips Brooks. If man is man and God is God, to live without prayer is not merely an awful thing. It is an infinitely foolish thing. Well, I say amen to that. But what about the content of our prayer? Living without it is infinitely foolish, but even if we have it, what's the content? What's the content? What is in it when we pray? It's one thing to observe rightly how foolish we are not to pray, but if we do pray, what is in our prayer? Is it just petition, a list of our needs? Or are there other elements to prayer that also have a place? Certainly, there are some things that should, or shouldn't, be in our prayer. But here I suggest four key parts to prayer. Praise, confession, petition, and listening. Now, they don't have to be in that order, and all of them needn't be present in every prayer. But each of these parts is foundational to a fully developed prayer life. So let's look at each of them. Praise. The first part of prayer ought to be praise and thanksgiving. It should be about submission to a gracious God and about thanksgiving for other believers, for what Jesus has done for us on the cross, for God's goodness in creating the world we occupy, and more. It should be praise for the wonder of being alive, for the wonder of salvation, for the wonder of the gospel and being able to share it, for the freedom to worship. Even when we are in great need, prayer is best entered with a thankful heart. Somehow, it sets the relationship on its proper footing between us and the one who gives to us. Secondly, this important part of prayer is confession. Numerous scripture passages say God doesn't respond to us when we are not in right relationship with Him, when we are not right with Him. It's not that He's so easily offended that if we've done wrong, He's not going to listen. He always hears. Rather, We have clogged the lines of communication when our lives aren't right. We can unclog the lines by confessing. And confession is simply saying, Lord, I've messed up again, and I'm sorry again. God's response is immediate. You're forgiven. Clogs are cleared. Let's talk. So confession is a key part of prayer. And then petition. This is where we bring our heart to God in petition or intercession. It's really a cry of the heart for favor, for the Holy Spirit. Petition is coming to God and saying, I'm in need. Or it's bringing before Him a person I love, or a person I hate for that matter, and asking for blessing or healing or conviction or presence. It is asking for grace. And then finally, listening. Do you recall Scripture's criticism of false gods? Just how does Scripture portray idols? You can find it in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Here's how. They can't hear. They're made of wood or stone. They're powerless. They're fashioned by the hands of men. And they are speechless. That's the criticism in Scripture of false gods. They are speechless. Well, what's the obvious implication of that? God is not speechless. God speaks. God speaks, and we are to listen.
We'll continue our discussion of prayer in just a few minutes. Stay with us.